Here's El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show. All right, Alex, here goes our brother Alex is splitting, man. We've had all kinds of people crawling through here today. We've had techs. We've had Scientologists.
What do you mean Scientologists?
We've had just about everybody.
We've had everybody trying to help us as we continue our transition technologically, as we continue our transition media-wise, as we continue our transition, if you will, technocratically as well.
My, the big words.
That's right. As we continue to move ever so gingerly into the 21st century, providing for our audience a new kind of media for the various delivery systems and platforms. See, there's no such thing anymore, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you know this or not. There's no such thing as a television or a radio. No, it's called a platform. It's a platform. And the how you get what you see or hear on your platform is the delivery system. Just like we heard in that movie, I don't know, you guys are too young maybe, but in the film The Insider, which was the film about the doctor that blew the whistle on Brown and Williamson, the tobacco company, he said that a cigarette is nothing more than a nicotine delivery system. And I always, that was like the most, that was a profound moment for me, because when I heard that, I was watching the film, it was Russell Crowe was in it, Al Pacino, it was a very good movie. One of the great things about Michael Mann is he makes these films that are not really all that action-oriented. He turns them into almost like action epics. And, you know, you have to do a little dance with the facts.
But you talk about a movie that's about a guy quitting smoking. How's that an action picture?
Yeah, you kidding? It wasn't a movie about a guy quitting smoking.
What was it about?
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
It was about the doctor. Listen, it was about the doctor at the Brown and Williamson Company. But he wasn't a doctor, he was a scientist.
Yeah, he was a research scientist for Brown and Williamson, who, you know, just had a series of run-ins and confrontations with his employer that eventually soured him so much in the company, he decided to contact the media, and his name was Dr. Jeffrey Wigand.
Did they make all this up?
No, they didn't make it up. It's a true story. Dr. Jeffrey Wigand, who currently is a school teacher, a chemistry teacher, Dr. Wigand blew the whistle on Brown and Williamson, talked to 60 Minutes about the amount of nicotine that goes into a cigarette, about the ever-increasing amount of nicotine that has gone into cigarettes, the philosophies of these different tobacco companies, the fact that they do know it's an addictive substance, and that, in point of fact, what a cigarette is a nicotine delivery system whereby the nicotine gets into the consumer, and we can't quit. We can't give up smoking cigarettes, and it's an insidious way to, you know, keep, if you will, brand loyalty. When we talk about consumer loyalty, we're not talking about the company manipulating, you know.
Well, I think you'd get an argument there, though.
Yeah, what about, like, Harley-Davidson? You was talking about Harley-Davidson last night?
Yeah.
Don't they, like, they do almost a brain manipulation.
Okay, bud, you ride a Harley, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like your mind has been, you know, manipulated?
Well, that's an unfair question to ask that idiot, because he wouldn't know.
What do you mean, idiot?
You wouldn't know if someone was mentally, you know, manipulating you, would you?
Yeah.
How would you know, bud?
I'd know. No, you wouldn't, man. You've been buying a Harley Davidson. I buy Harley because it's good.
All right, okay. It's a pointless conversation, okay? We're not talking about mental manipulation. You're going to start telling me you're going to start suing people?
Well, what about the man you had on your program that wanted to sue, you were just talking about fast food, the man that wanted to sue, the Colonel Chicken.
Yeah.
Colonel Sanders?
Is that his name?
Yeah, that's his name, Colonel Sanders.
No, this was someone else. It was Colonel Chicken.
No, there's only one Colonel, and that's Colonel Sanders.
No, there's more than one Colonel.
Okay. But we're talking about fast food. There's only one Colonel that I know of in the fast food business.
What about Orville Redenbacher?
I'm sorry?
What about Orville Redenbacher? What about him?
Shut up, man. I'm not talking to you. Hold on. What about Orville Redenbacher?
And that's Colonel.
That is a Colonel. That's the Colonel of the popcorn.
I ain't talking about K-E-R-N-A-L.
Phil, why are you getting so upset? It's just a question.
You know what? You're right. I should have a lot more patience, but I can't believe we're having a conversation. I'm talking about Colonel as in C-O-L-O.
Oh, like the military.
Yes, the military.
that still begs the question, what kernel is involved in fast food? That's an asinine thing to bring up, Phil. Why is that an asinine thing? I don't understand. You've never heard of Colonel Sanders.
They never even heard of Colonel Sanders. Everybody knows about it.
Well, not everyone. I've never heard of him, all right?
Colonel Sanders had the Kentucky Fried Chicken. Do you know that?
Yes, everyone knows that.
Well, that's the guy.
I didn't know that that's the same guy.
Neither did I.
Did you ever see a... you never saw that... You know what? I had to just cut my losses. All right, so you've heard of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes, I've heard of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And that was the man that sued the Colonel Chicken, is what I'm talking about, though. That he sued them.
There's no Colonel Chicken, I'm telling you.
Well, you're trying to sell me a bill of goods about some guy in the military that owns a fast food joint on the side. It's not going to wash.
Yeah, I don't buy it. What's the matter, Mr. Henry? You look like you're almost going to throw up.
No, it's not throwing up that I'm fearing.
Well, what if you're not going to throw up, what are you going to do?
You need to go to the bathroom?
I need for you two to just listen to me for a second. Colonel Sanders is not in the military. Colonel Sanders is one of those southern colonels, you know?
No, I don't.
What are you talking about? You talking about a slaveholder?
No, Robert, I'm not talking about a slaveholder. Although it might harken back to those. I don't know. But Colonel Sanders was one of them southern colonels, you know?
What's that?
I don't know, man. There's cats down there that are colonels. You know?
Well, what do you mean, Phil?
I don't know. I can't describe it. I can't describe it, but down south, there's guys that are colonels, and I don't know what they're colonels in. Maybe they were colonels in a Confederate... Well, that'd be too long ago.
Maybe they're like in a National Guard.
I don't know. I don't think it's National Guard. Colonel Sanders had on a white suit, and he had on the beard. You don't remember that, huh?
No, I don't.
And he had a string tie.
What army's that?
It ain't no army, man. It's what the guy... It's not an army. It's his title. He's a colonel. Don't ask me how he became a colonel. He's just a colonel. Now, forget about all of that for just a second. Colonel Sanders, with the white suit, the string tie, the beard, the whole act, started a chicken restaurant, okay?
That's Colonel Chicken.
No, that's not Colonel Chicken. He started the chicken restaurant. It became a bunch of restaurants. It became a national chain, and it became what you and I know today as Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Are you talking about the Kentucky Colonels?
Yes. Isn't there Kentucky Colonels?
Yeah, it was the ABA team. I remember that because that's Artis Gilmore played for them.
I'm not talking about the ABA team, all right?
Well, then, Phil, no one knows what you're talking about.
All right. All I can tell you is, there was Kentucky Colonels of some kind, and they were Kentucky Colonels. I don't know. I think it was some kind of a... Anyway, that guy started the chicken thing. And the chicken restaurant took off, became a huge thing. And anyway, to make a long story short, you, Margaret, think that the guy we had on the show wanted to sue them because he got fat, right?
Yes.
All right. That isn't going to happen.
Then why is it people can sue the tobacco companies?
Because there is a very clear physical connection between the smoking of cigarettes and physical and disease. Now, hold on. You can't quite draw that same connection between Kentucky chicken, or if you want to call it Colonel Chicken. I don't care what you call it, okay?
But my Popeyes.
You could call it Popeyes if you want, all right? It doesn't make any difference. He was in the military, too.
Who?
Popeye.
What military was he? Oh, the Navy.
Yeah, the Navy, okay? So...
Well, Phil, it was a cartoon character. Good God.
Oh, man. Oh, you're right. In any event,
You know, you think you make a point...
Margaret, can I finish, please?
Yeah, but Popeye was in the U.S. Navy, right?
No, man, he was in the Polish Navy. Yes, he was in the U.S. I don't know what Navy he was in.
Well, he probably was in the U.S. Navy, but he didn't exist, and that's all there is to that. Colonel Chicken, he did, or not Colonel Chicken, but this guy Sanders, whoever he is, I ain't never heard of him, I hope I never meet him. But you say he's alive, you say he exists, and walks the streets like a normal man? Okay, Mr. Henry, I'll go with you on that. But don't try to sell me on a chicken.
Let me tell you something, oh genius bud. Colonel Sanders is no longer with us. He died. That's how real he was. He lived, and then he died. Do cartoon characters die? No, they don't. Popeye's still walking around in that sailor suit.
Man, that must cost the Navy a lot.
Why?
The pension.
Yeah, the Popeye pension. Yeah, that's busting us, man. I bet you the department... In any event...
Dan, it looks like you're going to throw up again.
In any event,
spit it out.
I'm going to say it. In any event, you can't sue Colonel Sanders and say, I am a fat slob today because of them.
Why not? That's my question.
Because there's no proven link between the eating of Colonel Sanders' chicken and becoming a gargantuan fat ass. Yes, some people have eaten Colonel Sanders and become fat. There are some people who've eaten Colonel Sanders' chicken and have not become fat.
Well, I'd love to meet them.
Yeah, who the hell are you going to talk about there, man? You know?
I don't know. I bet you I could find them, though. I bet you if I was, for instance, representing the Colonel Sanders or Colonel Chicken company, I would find enough witnesses to say, hi, I've eaten Colonel Sanders my whole life, and I haven't gained an ounce. I would, and that's why there's not going to be a lawsuit. It's as simple as that. All right, we'll take a break. Be back here with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Be right
the
back.
The Phil Hendry Show.
What are you talking about now? Michael Mann, Brown and William, I forget.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, nothing gets people talking. I'm telling you right now, nothing gets people more fired up. Nothing gets people more agitated. Nothing brings out the trolls. Nothing brings out the people that just love to fire things up more than the discussion, especially online, of gay rights. It becomes a open season for anybody that is full of hate. It's an open season for anybody that wants to get back at these hate mongers. It's open season for the dumb. It's open season for the smart. It's open season, you know.
What do you mean, open season?
It's like a hunting season. You can just...
Yeah, it's like just anything goes. And now we have... And so I looked at the page after page after page after page of comments following the article on the San Francisco 49ers who have pulled a gay rights ad that they had taped or that they had recorded or otherwise produced for public consumption during the Super Bowl. And look at this. Just I haven't gotten to the end of this yet, man. You talk about a waste of paper.
Now, I told you how to do the setting on that.
No. It's not that I didn't know how to do the setting. I was in such a hurry, I didn't set the printer to limit the amount of pages it printed. And it just went and went and went. And look at this, man. It's just going on and on. All these people. Nobody reads this stuff. The only people that read all of these comments are the people that are actively online engaging and commenting. The rest of us, I got to tell you, folks, with the greatest of respect, if you are one of these people that get involved in these online comment battles, nobody's reading that except the jackball that you're screaming at. I sure as hell don't. I don't know anybody that goes, let me just scan through all this, unless they are going to actively participate themselves. And people that actively participate in these comment sections are a small minority. I mean, I've been trying to tell people this for years. They don't want to listen to it, you know.
Phil, people are going to believe what they believe.
Yeah. Nobody listens to me. All right.
You're not suffering, man.
Yeah, what? It ain't no sweat off of your sack.
Will you watch that kind of language, please?
Sorry.
49ers gay rights ad pulled by It Gets Better campaign. The San Francisco 49ers were the first NFL team to tape a gay rights ad for the It Gets Better campaign. Meaning, I think that life is going to improve for you. Don't worry. Kids, the thing of it is the kids, the young people that are gay and are having a very difficult time either expressing themselves or fitting in with, a very strong heterosexually influenced society. Those are the kids that are having a lot of kids have a hard time, but those kids are having a difficult time as well. And, you know, there's been a high incidence of suicide and so on. So this ad is a part of a campaign called It Gets Better to try to help young people who are gay deal with that. Unfortunately, they pulled the gay rights ad for It Gets Better. Unfortunately, they're also the first NFL team to get the ad pulled by the It Gets Better organization. Why? Well, the 49ers haven't been saying the nicest things about the gay community lately. Defensive back Chris Culliver said recently that a gay football player would not be welcome in an NFL locker room. He later apologized for his comments. To make things worse, linebacker Ahmad Brooks and tackle Isaac Sapoga apparently forgot that they made a pro-gay rights video. Brooks and Sapoga I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, sir. Oh, on second thought, had their memories jogged when they were shown the It Gets Better video, but both players denied knowing that they'd made the video to promote gay rights. Brooks and Sepulga said they thought they were making an anti-bullying ad. And maybe that's true. One of the goals of the It Gets Better campaign is to stop bullying against lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender youth. But why were they so defensive? Why were they offended at the thought of making a pro-gay rights video? Brooks and Sepulga said they want their name associated with the gay rights campaign, and now it looks like the gay rights organization doesn't want anything to do with the San Francisco 49ers. That's one of life's great, magnificent ironies right now, that San Francisco, universally recognized as one of the meccas for gay people, not only in America, but the world, a city that has been progressive when it comes to the rights of gay people, a city that has an active gay business community, an active gay electorate. This is a city whose football team is not welcome doing gay rights ads. The 49ers video may no longer be available on the It Gets Better website, but you can still see it on YouTube. How about that?
Well, I guess that just goes to show you, you know, that these football teams are populated with, you can put a football team in San Francisco. But the problem that I see, if I can make this statement.
And we're going to, by the way, we're going to be talking here in just a moment with Vernon Dozier, football coach. Go ahead.
The problem that I see, good, I want to talk to Coach Dozier. The problem as I see it, Phil, and this has been going on since the National Football League began, is that the players that are playing for the teams are not people that are from the city. So if you have the San Francisco 49er football team, and I could be wrong, but there are players on that team that are from, I thought I saw Rhode Island and places like, that's nowhere near San Francisco.
Yeah, that's a good point, you know, because, what?
Well, wait a minute, hold on. What are you talking about? You got to have players that are good. The first thing you want are good players.
Well, you can find good players.
Can't you get good players in San Francisco?
Well, yeah, you can get good players in San Francisco, but you want the best players. You want the best football players for your team. You know, and sometimes you have to go other places.
Well, what other places do you need to go when you find, what good is it going to do you to get someone who is a wide back or
a wide receiver?
I don't know. You're going to go and get the tight receiver or the tight end. Is that it?
Yeah, call him tight end.
All right. And you go and get it, and it's from Alabama. All right, let's get very extreme here. Nothing against people in Alabama, but I think they understand that you're already going in with one foot in it if you've got an Alabaman or an Alabama, you know, on your team. All I'm saying, Phil, is the San Francisco 49er football team.
Yes.
Can't afford to have the wide out and the tight receivers and all of these people that are from these other places where they don't understand these things.
That's a pretty good point, Mr. Henry, and I just would add one thing.
Yes, go ahead.
What are you getting all that attitude for?
What's your problem?
You guys are, you don't know football. You don't understand football. This is what we're seeing here, okay? Why aren't you weighing in, Robert, and helping me?
Because I think they're making some sense.
You know full well they're not making any sense. Go ahead.
Well, if you think you'd make better sense.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
The San Francisco Niner football team is one of the best I've ever seen, and I know that.
Uh-huh.
If you got guys on that team that don't understand the gay mentality or the lifestyles, or I know it's not a lifestyle.
It's not a lifestyle. It's an orientation.
Yeah. If you got guys on that team that can't understand how the whole orientation is, and they go out and play the football game, then they go to a bar, beat up on a gay, go play a football game, go to a bar, beat up gay, go football game, beat up bar, go to a gay. You know,
beat up a football team and go to a gay.
No, he said go to a gay and beat up a bar. No, that's not
what I meant.
Just hold on, okay?
No,
hold on. We got to take a break. We'll be back. Vernon Dozier with us to talk about the San Francisco 49ers pulling an anti-gay. Actually, they had their anti-gay ad. commercial the 49er players created for It Gets Better. It Gets Better doesn't want anything to do with the 49ers because of some of the homophobia on their football team. We'll find out. What about Jim Harbaugh? Is he just making all the gay jokes? I'm joking. I shouldn't be joking, though. But we'll talk about it when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
If he goes to a bar and he consorts with an anti-gay...
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And remember, the Phil Hendry Show is on demand on our website for all media, all, you name it, man, all devices. We are on demand as we continue to transition into the, you know, into the modern world of encoding for our Apple listeners as well, people with smartphones of all kinds. You can still get all of our media on your smartphone, on your iPhone, on your iPad. Our live streaming will be available to you very, very soon as well. We're working a lot of kinks out. There's no question. And we are making every effort to get that squared away as quickly as possible. So please don't think for 1 minute, man, we've given up on live streaming our video cast. Not a chance, baby. That's going to be, it'll be back Monday. This is what, Friday? Yeah, it'll be back Monday. We want to get on the line a couple of gentlemen. We have Vernon Dozier. Vernon is with Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. Gary Garson is joining us from The Other Side, which is a public radio show that is about LGBT people, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. And Gary and Vernon are joining us tonight on our newsmaker lines. Just as I could get Gary up on the line here. I'm not exactly sure where he is. Gary, thank you for joining us. Good to have you on with us.
Hi, Phil. Always a pleasure, Phil.
And how are you doing, Vernon?
I'm very good, Phil.
All right. First of all, we'll ask Gary, your show is a show for gay people, lesbians.
As you said it, Phil, it's a program for gay people and lesbians and transgender and bisexual people, yes.
And is it a call-in show?
Yes, we have some call-in. We have guests. We have a number of different features on our program, and it's designed to inform our audience, even our non-gay listeners, straight listeners, about the realities of being gay in America here at the turn of this new millennium. All of the opportunities, the possibilities are endless. Things are really improving rapidly for gay people in this country, but we've got an awfully long way to go.
And Vernon, you're a football coach. You deal with young people in the sport of football. You also coach at the college level, and it's good to have you on our show.
Okay, Phil, thank you. I, when you said good to have me, I had to laugh.
You thought you were being had.
Yeah, I thought I was being had. As my wife used to, when I say to my wife, it's great to have you, and she says, well, it's great to be had, I always have to laugh.
All right, so what I want to talk to both of you gentlemen about are these anti-gay ads that It Gets Better, the campaign, the It Gets Better campaign, was taping and wanted to air, at least during the Super Bowl, one of them from the San Francisco 49ers. Gary, go ahead and comment, if you will, on where you think the 49ers went wrong.
Well, I think where the 49ers went wrong is allowing a couple of individuals that represent their organization who are not representative of a progressive or an evolved view on human rights, because that's what it is. It's human rights. It's not got anything to do with... We're not just talking about gay rights. We're talking about human rights. And the San Francisco 49ers, I don't think, were very selective in their choice of individuals who understand this. And let me tell you that I'm a big football fan. I love to watch the game, and we're all 49er fans up here. And
well, I forgot to say, you're in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And so you've got obviously a much, much better view of this than the rest of us. And you, when you say, were there other players that they could have talked to?
Well, there must be other players on the San Francisco 49er team that is far more representative of a progressive view than these two people that they got. I don't know. But 49ers, while we support the 49ers, And we support the gay community of San Francisco, and gay football fans all over the country support the National Football League with their dollars, purchasing products endorsed by the National Football League, purchasing the products of the sponsors, buying season tickets, buying individual game tickets, buying the merchandise of the team. Gay people are as active as sport fans as anybody else, in San Francisco especially. And so for the 49ers not to understand that and to trot out, I heard the lady say earlier she didn't want to trot any Winnie. Well, I think the 49ers have just trotted out a couple of, the sound that a goat makes, bad, bad black sheep, because these two guys that they brought out and that they put in front of the American people as representatives of the pro-gay, anti-bullying San Francisco 49ers, they might as well have just tried it out, Adolf Hitler and Genghis Khan.
Vernon?
Well, I think that's a little unfair. Adolf Hitler, I don't think, you've got a couple of football players that are committed to winning a Super Bowl. And I think when that happens, Phil, everything else is by the wayside. And I got to tell you, I have spent my life with young people. I've spent my life with football players. I believe very much in human rights and human dignity. And one of my idols was Vince Lombardi, whose brother Harold, who just passed on, was gay.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that Vince Lombardi's brother Harold was a gay man. And Vince Lombardi very early on took...
That's right, if I could just jump in.
Well, I was talking...
I want to just mention that Vince Lombardi was very much a defender of gay people's rights early on. One of the Packer players was gay at that time, and I think I can say now it was Marv Fleming. And I think there were some rumors or something, or people were saying some unkind things, and Lombardi said to the players, "I will have none of that on my team."
Go ahead, Vernon.
Well, I don't know anything about what he just said about Marv Fleming. Marv Fleming played for the Miami Dolphins, I know that, and you can certainly understand that the Dolphins would have and I think Marv Fleming was a great player, but to have a gay player on the Dolphins makes sense. I don't know that Marv Fleming was gay when he was with the San Francisco Packers, but...
The Green Bay Packers, Marv Fleming, you don't go from being straight to gay.
Yeah, if he was gay, he was gay when he played for the Packers.
All right, well, how do you know?
I remember reading in Vince Lombardi's book that Lombardi's brother was gay.
No, I know his brother was gay. That was the part that I wanted to introduce. And with all respect to Mr. Garson, I appreciate it. But I wanted to say that part, and you let him...
Well, all right. I, you know what? He's right, Gary. Vernon had the floor.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry if I interrupted you, but I too am very familiar with the Vince Lombardi story.
All right. But I too am familiar. I am familiar with the Vince Lombardi story.
Yes.
And I wanted to say that part. And if we can back up, Vince Lombardi, the greatest football coach in the history of the National Football League, 5 world championships with the Green Bay Packers. And Vince Lombardi was an open-minded man. He was open-minded about race. He was open-minded about sex practices and sex, you know, everything that you do with having to do with sex, I guess. And I wanted to bring that up, that Vince Lombardi was... He was kind to his gay brother, and if you're telling me there was a gay player, I didn't know that.
Marv Fleming, it was brought up in the book that Phil is talking about.
You're, once again, Mr. Henry, he's trying to hog the floor.
All right, this doesn't have to be contentious. You guys aren't here to debate.
I didn't think I was coming on here to argue.
No, I didn't come on here to argue either. I'm just saying that I'm talking now.
Well, Vernon... Okay, yes, you are. What do you want to say? Vince Lombardi's brother, Harold Lombardi, was gay, and that's true. There was a player, I don't know if it was Marv Fleming, probably was, who was gay on the Packers early on, at least, you know, when Coach Lombardi was there. And I believe it was Marv Fleming that Coach Lombardi was defending when some of the players were trying to razz him or make some very unkind.
Phil, understand that if you're a gay player in the National Football League, there's no such thing as being razzed. You are harassed. You are Your life is made very difficult. Your life as a player, as well as just an individual and a participating member of the team, is made exceedingly difficult if you're with a bunch of unenlightened imbeciles. And so Marv Fleming probably wasn't just harassed. I think Marv Fleming was probably openly attacked. I'm not saying physically, but I think he was attacked verbally. I think it was probably an extremely hostile work environment for Marv Fleming until Coach Lombardi stepped in.
Okay, Vernon, go ahead.
I had come on your program, Mr. Henry, I wanted to be the one that brought out the Vince Lombardi material. You allowed this gay man to do it. There's nothing for me to say now. That's the only gay material that I've got.
What is that? Gay material?
I'll respond to Mr. Henry right now, Mr. Garson. I appreciate very much your comment.
All right. Okay. I'm sorry. I blame myself. You're right, Vernon. You were going to tell us the story, and then Mr. Garson, and I thank you for your... This is all my fault, gentlemen. I didn't moderate properly.
Well, Phil, I had it. I was going to talk about it.
Yeah, you were going to talk about it, but I wanted to talk about it because I had read up on it, and I was going to come in with the gay material.
What do you mean by gay material? I'm gay, so everything I've got to say is gay material.
Well...
Okay, let me do this. I want to hear Mr. Dozier's take on this. So you have your take, Gary. We know, and many people have probably read the books and know the story of Vince Lombardi. How does that relate to the present situation with the 49ers?
Well, I think it relates to the present situation this way. Vince Lombardi, the greatest head coach in the history of the National Football League, was a very open-minded man. The San Francisco 49ers are behaving in a way that I think would be a disgrace to them, and is a disgrace to the memory of Vince Lombardi. It's a disgrace to the organization because Lombardi had a gay brother. All the stuff I wanted to say, the gay already said.
Who are you talking about when you say the gay?
Hold on. Again, this is not a debate.
Well, this is the second time that the guy has said that I'm the gay.
I apologize, sir. I didn't mean to say that. I'm...
Well, what is your hostility, sir?
I don't have any hostility. It's just that what I wanted to say...
I know that he already said that Vince Lombardi's brother Harold is gay, or was gay.
I could do that.
What?
I could forget that he's dead and say he is gay, and then you could say, no, he was gay, and that...
Well, that would sound asinine.
Excuse me again, sir. I'm not speaking to you.
Look, we're going to have to take a break.
Oh, great. Every time.
We've got to take a break. We'll be right back here. 877-876-PHIL. We're on with Vernon Dozier here, Gary Garson from the Other Side Radio Show in San Francisco, as we talk about the San Francisco 49ers and what was supposed to be an ad defending the rights of young gay people against bullying. It's been pulled by It Gets Better because the 49er players that were articulating this have made some crass, crude, anti-gay comments. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
God. Back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And tomorrow, our video cast on demand, as well as our radio show podcast, and also our Phil Hendry Show podcast available on iTunes. We are up to episode 118. Is that it, bud?
Yeah, 118 episode of the Phil Hendry podcast. That's a lot of them.
It is a lot of them. And so we've got 118 of the. So if you want to check out our podcast and see just how much great material you get on our archives at philhendryshow.com, check it out. It's on iTunes. We are consistently one of the top-rated comedy podcasts over at iTunes, although I have not checked it lately. Have you looked at it, Margaret?
No, I don't know where to go to look at that, but I do listen to it, but I don't know where. Where do you go to see whether it's top-rated or not?
Doug, you got a chart.
Yeah, they got a chart.
Well, I don't know what...
In any event, it doesn't matter, but people are enjoying it. We appreciate that. So check that out as well. We with us? What am I saying?
Oh, sir, Wee Willie.
Yeah.
Well, we were going to talk about Wee Willie Winkie, and that might have been it.
No, we were not going to talk about Wee Willie Winkie. Who's he?
Can I jump in, Phil?
Yeah.
Wee Willie Winkie was a communist. I think he was a communist. And later become was a thief.
No, you're talking about Willie Sutton. Wee Willie Winkie was a communist. I agree with Vernon there. Mr. Tozier, I'm glad we've got an area of agreement.
I am too, sir. I'm very grateful for that.
Wee Willie Winkie was a communist?
That is my understanding, yes.
I wasn't going to talk about Wee Willie Winkie.
Well, you said Wee Willie...
No, I meant to say Will We... I reversed something.
Oh, okay.
My understanding, Phil, was that Wee Willie Winkie was a communist labor organizer.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'll go with that.
A communist labor organizer. Well, we're not going to talk about Wee Willie Winkie, the communist...
What are you laughing at? Do you know that my grandfather walked on those picket lines with those garment workers? My grandfather walked on the picket lines with the Teamsters. My grandfather was, and I shouldn't say this, he was hired Irish muscle for a lot of those strikers.
That's interesting. Your grandfather was more or less one of the muscle guys that the union brought in, huh?
Yes, that's right, Mr. Garson.
He's not working for the company.
Well, can I jump in here, Phil?
Go ahead.
So you're saying that your grandfather, Ms. Gray, was working on behalf of communists.
That's not communist.
Hold on for a minute now, Garson. I've been listening to you.
Hold on, gentlemen. We're not going to get into a conversation about labor organizing, all right?
You brought up Wee Willie Winkie.
Wee Willie Winkie, I did not bring up.
Phil, please don't mock what my grandfather gave his life for. Because...
Your grandfather, did he die on the picket line?
No, he died.
He died, well.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean he... All right, I'm sorry, you know.
Yes, it does mean that.
Mr. Henry, I don't think we're in any position to comment on why someone's grandfather gave his life. I think that it's fair enough to say that Ms. Gray's grandfather died, and at one time he was walking picket lines with those workers and was defending them. And so you can say, to some extent, he gave his life.
That is a very good point. I apologize, Margaret. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I didn't know it choked you up.
I was very close to my grandfather, and Wee Willie Winkie, who was not that well known to a great many of the union members. In fact, I didn't even know of him until I was much, much older. My grandfather would have spoken very warmly of him had he known him.
Did your grandfather know that he existed?
See, that's the question I'd like to ask.
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead what?
Ask the question.
Mr. Garson already asked it.
Mr. Garson already asked the question.
Oh, all right. Well, what was the question?
Margaret, I'm going to tell you. I want to get back to this.
No, I want to... The question was, did your grandfather know Wee Willie Winkie? Now, I want an answer to that.
My grandfather would have known him had he known of him. But Wee Willie Winkie... Wee Willie, you know something? This is not about my grandfather. It's about Wee Willie Winkie and what he did for the working men and women of this country.
I've never heard of Wee Willie Winkie until you brought him up, Garson.
Well, I brought up Wee Willie. I'm assuming that it was Willie Sutton. That's who I thought they were talking about.
Willie Sutton was a crook, okay?
Yeah, well, what's the matter with you?
First of all, you've yet to establish who is Wee Willie...
God, Henry, if you laugh one more time at the man that my father gave his life for...
Your father or your grandfather?
There's a good question.
My grandfather. I sent my father to eliminate... I eliminated the word grand. Took too much time.
It was a time measure.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, because we're really up against the time here.
You want to be a smartass? I haven't gotten up from this table yet.
And you're not going to, Margaret. I'm going to finish this conversation. First of all, I want to apologize to my guests for getting sidetracked on a discussion of Wee Willie Winkie. I've never heard of him. I don't think he exists. And you brought up a Wee Willie Winkie.
Wait a second. You don't think he exists?
No, I don't. I think you brought him up because I misspoke. I said and we were something, and I didn't mean to say that, and you said that I was talking about Wee Willie Winkie. I said, who? And you said he was a labor organizer and a communist. And you agreed with that, Mr. Garson.
I have to agree with that because I'm just trying to move the conversation along.
And you, Mr. Dozier, why'd you agree with it?
I did not agree with it.
I did not agree. I never heard a Wee Willie Winkie. And what's more, even if I was a commie, and thank God Almighty that I'm not, but if I were a commie, I will tell you that I would never, ever go out on a picket line for some guy named Wee Willie Winkie. Now, why am I hearing crickets? Did somebody open a window in here? Close the window, will you, Bill? Listen to that. I can hear crickets and all kinds of stuff. That could be on my end because we're practicing and we're outside. We're on a football field. Practicing what? Wouldn't you like to know? We happen to be doing, I've got a dance routine. I do a radio show and we have a review, a drag review.
Okay. Gary is involved in a drag review, a drag, you know.
You mean you dress up like a... Yes, we dress up like a woman for straight guys like you. Hey. I've been to Finocchio's. I think that's a marvelous show. It's a very beautiful show, and I enjoy it very deeply. But that doesn't mean that you can take liberties with me.
Well, come on over to our show. You'll enjoy it. I won't take any liberties, except with your money.
All right, that's fair enough.
Okay, thank you very much, Margaret. Thank you.
Well, are you going to apologize to Wee Willie?
Forget Wee Willie Winkie. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Here it is right here, Wikipedia. Wee Willie Winkie was a commie, a crawling, dirty, stinking red.
So Wee Willie Winkie was a crawling red, huh?
Phil Hendry.